Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors. From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
Aboard! You're on the crazy train!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
This is the second hour of the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Coming to you live from Hales Corners, Wisconsin. At least that's where we're located, but our signal comes out of someplace else and wherever. But anyway, you can catch us on the World Wide Web just by, what did they go to Bodie again?
It's 1057fmthefan.com. Otherwise, you can listen live anywhere on the radio.com app.
There you go. Radio.com app. That's free, right?
That is free.
Yeah, then you just, yeah, there you go. You can listen to us all over, no matter where you are, when you're traveling. Anyway, we come to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. We are live, and you can call us and get involved in the show by calling 414-799-1250. That's 799-1250. He's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer, and we are here to entertain and inform and maybe take a nap.
So, 799-1250, yeah. If you're out there and you got a hot ice fishing report. If not, let's talk a little summer here, Tom.
Oh, let's please do. I can't
wait. Let's talk a little.
Hey, speaking of summer, I've been working on my summer lures already and hooks. I've been sharpening some hooks and that.
That's exactly what I wanted to talk about with this topic, Tom. As you know, I like to go up with Sergeant Horton up to Door County and do some smallmouth bass fishing. I've become a bass kind of a fisherman for at least 1 week out of the year I go up there. And I was never really much of a bass guy before. So anyway, while we're up there, we see a lot of guys fishing and a lot of guys using a number of different methods. But the method that has been most productive for us over the years has been using the jerk baits. And when I think about it, it seems to me that it's one of the most overlooked methods of fishing by a lot of bass fishermen. I think a lot of bass guys that I observe, they're so into that finesse stuff. Their mindset is so into
the
that.
Plastic, yeah.
Right, and even our bass pro Ron Johnson, when he went up there with me, I mean, yeah, he was finessing, but when I nailed like 2-3 fish on a jerkbait, his mama didn't raise no fool. He switched to jerkbaits. Yeah.
Now, when you say jerkbait, you mean the minnow imitating jerkbaits, right?
Right, the minnow imitating. And like when I first, in fact, the first time I ever really started using jerkbaits, many years ago, I went up to Sturgeon Bay in the spring. It was April. And stopped at it's a little gas station there on the corner. It's a little mobile station, I think. I don't know what the name is. There's a bar across the road. Of course, there's a bar across the road from every gas station in Wisconsin, corner of every road. But I went in and I said, how are they doing on the pike? And they said, really good. They're getting on jerk baits. And I was thinking bobby baits, suets.
Yeah, thinking musky jerk baits, yeah.
They were talking husky jerks.
Right.
And once I realized what they were talking about, I just so happened to have one husky jerk, a clown that I'd bought in my tackle box, and I proceeded to go out and catch, man, we got like 15, 20 northerns that day using the jerk baits. Since that time, I've used them for walleyes. And then I did catch Big Smallmouth with Steve Milliot years ago up in Little Sturgeon. He was finessing, and I said, well, I don't know how to do that. What else can I throw? And I pulled out that Husky Jerk. He said, yeah, you could use that. And I caught a four-pound-plus smallmouth, the biggest one we got that day. It was kind of a tough day. So since that time, I've kind of become a fan. Now, they've been coming out with lots of jerk baits. Rapla in particular has been coming out. That, you know, they've got the shadow wrap shallow, shadow wrap deep. Then they got the Rapla X wrap. They came out with one last year, I think, the Rapla Rip Stop. I went and bought the expensive one for $20. So the Raplas, you can normally get those for typical Rapla prices. I went and bought the, escaping me. It'll come back in a second, an expensive one for like $25 last year. And that was the bait up in Door County. I had to replace hooks on that a bunch of times. So there's many different, and now I'm reading an article in Fisherman. They're talking about Lucky Craft Pointer.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever used a Lucky Craft Pointer? Because I
no.
don't. Okay, so that's another type I'm going to have to buy.
Right, I've used the Smithwick Rogues and the Husky Jerks.
Okay,
yeah,
it's the Mega Bass Vision 110 in the ebony bone color. That's the one that I bought for $25 that just rocked the smallmouths. But yeah.
Don't use that on Pewaukee.
Huh?
Don't use it on Pewaukee.
It'll get bit off.
Yeah, it might get bit off.
Muskellunge. And $25 might seem like a... Expensive amount to pay, but I'll tell you what, something about those jerk baits. And okay, you do have the suspending Rogues and you do have the regular Husky Jerk, but the difference between those is those just you jerk them and they don't have an erratic action, and you pause them and they'll be buoyant, neutral, and just hover.
Right.
The new jerk baits on the market have a real erratic action,
mm-hmm.
where you give it a jerk and it can shoot out to the side. And sometimes the crazier the action, the more it gets those smallmouth and largemouth too excited. And when they tend to hit is the pause. So these jerk baits are, mm-hmm. you know, they're weighted. They put it on the pause and sometimes 5 seconds and they'll just about jolt. Take the rod right out of your hand.
Right, yeah.
It's really cool. And what does work, a lot of the guys that use the jerk baits typically use like a braid, super line, because it really gives you better contact. In fact, the first year I was up there in Door County, I had 10-pound mono on, and I could not, I was catching, having one fish to, you know, Mark's 20. And he was using braid. And mm-hmm. I finally switched to the braid. And when I gave those sharp jerks and pauses, I could then actually feel the bait vibrate when I mm-hmm. gave it. And it made the difference.
Mm-hmm.
That contact and control, instantaneous reaction from the bait. The mono was just too stretchy and spongy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last year, Ron, on the advice of watching Ron Johnson up in Rowley's Bay, when he was using jerk baits with fluorocarbon, I switched to fluorocarbon on one rod last year, one rod and reel. And the Seaguar, what do they call it? The Seaguar fluorocarbon, it's in a yellow and blue box. And mm-hmm. Ron had recommended it. He said even 8 pound was fine. And I was leery about going with 8 pound, Tom, because I don't want one of those things breaking off. And I'll tell you, that 8 pound was tough. And I put the smackdown on him. So
mm-hmm.
the fluorocarbon worked good. And again, there's very little, you don't feel a lot of stretch with that line.
What's nice with the fluorocarbon, too, is that, like, for an example, you can use 14-pound test fluorocarbon, and it's basically the same diameter as a 10-pound test mono. So, you know, if you normally use 8-pound test, you can actually bump up to 10 in fluorocarbon and have the same diameter as a mono. As your 8-pound mono, or even up to 12-pound test, I think, and have same as 8.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice that way.
And the braids are the ones that are really, really thin. One of the reasons I went to the fluorocarbon only was when I was using the braid and tying a fluorocarbon leader on, I'd use a uni to uni knot, which is okay. Ron Heidenreich knows a knot, and he told me about it. It's online. That is infallible. I mean, virtually, where you tie line to line, it works really good. The uni knot, you could sometimes, if you caught a bunch of hard smacking smallmouths long enough, we did have a few break on a hook set.
Yeah.
So that's why I went.
Oh, okay.
I think I'm having a gripper here. Excuse me. I went to the fluorocarbon only. The other thing, you know, Mark was tying direct to the baits every time. And I observed Ron, and he was using a small, tiny little coast lock snap.
Yeah, you can get these real little barrel swivels.
Well, it doesn't even have a swivel.
No?
No. Don't even want a swivel if you're using jerk baits. Don't want a swivel on it. You just want the snap part. And it's not the coast lock snap.
Onto the lure. I was thinking of something else.
Yeah, it's not a cross lock snap. It's not the coast lock snap. It's a different thin wire one. And I use it for the walleye trolling as well. And it's small enough where that does not, those suspending baits, they'll either suspend, some might slowly go rise, some might slowly sink. It depends on the model and type. And there's even variances from lure to lure.
Mm-hmm.
But that little snap attachment didn't inhibit in any way the action of the bait. Plus, it made it a lot easier for a guy with old eyes to change baits without having to retie every time.
Yeah, that's always nice.
Yeah, so it worked really well.
I've got something, some news about something that'll really work for the smallies up on the bay when you go up there this year. I ordered them this year, got them in Sherpers. As a matter of fact, we got them now in Hales Corners.
Spy bait?
No, it's the Mini Mite 2s. It's the next size up.
After I got that hot tip from the guy whose brother fishes Washington Island in July, and the Mini Mite is his top producer.
The Mini Mite 2, right?
I want some of those.
Yeah.
I know they'll work.
Yeah. I was talking to Frank, the owner of Cubby Mini Mites, and I asked him about the Mini Mite 2s, and he says, yeah, we sell a lot of those. And I said, really? I guess I'm going to have to put them in the store.
I'll bet you that's one of the best kept secrets out there.
Yeah, it might be.
I'll bet you it is.
Yeah,
because fishermen, if they got a hot thing going. Yeah.
Now, that one has the regular Mini Mite has a 32nd ounce jig and a, you know, small plastic, you know, the Mini Mite patented tail. The Mini Mite 2 has got a 16th ounce jig.
We'll have to send some of those to Ron Johnson because he had never used Mini Mites till last spring when he and I got a bunch of those pumpkin seeds right off the pier there in Pewaukee.
Sure.
And he became a fan of the Mini Mite.
Yeah.
And we'd spray the bait mate on it too before, and that bait mate did seem to work.
Yeah.
That if you juiced it up a little bit and cast it out, and then if things slowed down, respray some stuff on there.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking some of those twos for subtle presentations, man. I think it would be great.
Yep, I got to get a bunch from Frank. Maybe we'll even give some away on the show.
No, I'm keeping all the twos for myself, Tom.
Okay.
Okay,
folks.
Santa Claus over there.
Yeah, we got to pay some bills right now. And so stay tuned. We're going to have more of this Skipper Beds Cutting Edge Outdoors. 799-1250 is the phone number if you want to get involved. We'll be right back with more.
Welcome back to Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Thanks for joining us this Saturday morning. And Tom here, Uncle Tom, our buddy, our friend, our bestest pal, has some giveaways here. What do you got?
Yeah, I want to give away a year's subscription to Badger Sportsman Magazine.
But,
you got to answer a question.
Yep.
799-1250 is the phone number. And it's 414-799-1250. I'm going to ask you a fairly simple question. I'll give you a little leeway in there, in case you don't get it right on the nose. So it's about fishing, you know. So we'll see who calls and see if they can get this. See, we just can't just give these things away willy-nilly. You got to earn them, folks. You got to earn it. I'm in a one-year subscription. That's kind of nice. The Badger Sports Magazine.
You don't have to be greatly knowledgeable or anything like that.
No.
I was going to ask some questions here, but Tom was nixing them here, saying,
I said, well, we're on the fishing theme right now.
We're on fishing.
Matter of fact, I was serious. I was down in the basement, and I was sharpening hooks, getting ready, you know, getting my gear situated. Because, you know, after a season of fishing, your gear gets all messed up. It's in different spots, you know. Sometimes you put a lure in a different box that it doesn't belong in just for expediency's sake when you're out in the boat.
Yeah.
So I was getting things back where they all should be. And as a matter of fact, I got to make my order for spinnerbaits. Oh, speaking of that, okay, I buy my spinnerbait stuff that, I make those spinnerbaits. I buy them from luresonline.com. And I asked them for a catalog, and I got the catalog on Thursday. And no offense to the U.S. Postal Service, but that thing came so tore up. As a matter of fact, there were about 30 pages that were missing parts of the pages. It was all ripped up, and then it's like, oh, man, this thing went through the ringer.
Yeah, so, it happened. You know, I respect a lot of those people, those mail delivery guys, the UPS guys, the Federal Express. They're out driving, busting their butt. I know it's hard, and they got to move fast.
And it probably wasn't their fault because they got automated machines that screw up some of these catalogs. So I had to call and reorder a new one. Anyway, okay, now, folks, whoever's on the line, stay on the line, because if the first person doesn't get the question, I'm going to switch the question. And you'll get a chance, too. So, who do you got first?
John on the northwest side.
Okay. John, you there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, good morning.
It is a great morning. Okay.
It is. And it hasn't started raining yet here by us.
It has here. About 7 o'clock it started.
Where are you at?
Northwest side of Milwaukee.
Really? It started over there? Yeah, here in Hales Corners, it's not raining yet. So, all right. We were talking about the smallmouth bass in Door County.
Yes.
You know what the state record smallmouth bass is?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Take a guess.
I'm going to say...
You got a one-pound leeway.
What's eight that? Pounds, 2 ounces.
He's within the one-pound leeway. You're within it.
It was 9 pounds, 1 ounce. Yeah.
It's 9 pounds, 1 ounce, and you're within that leeway. You're 8 pounds, two. Yep. You just made it.
Where was that caught? In the bay?
No, this was caught on Indian Lake in Oneida County in 1950. So so that might be a little even suspect. But if you're going to catch a state record smallmouth, Sturgeon Bay isn't a bad place to go to. Caught some real big ones up
close
there.
Close to it. Close.
So, okay, you stay on hold, John. We're going to get your info, okay?
Okay.
And I'll send you out that gift certificate for the one-year subscription to Badger Sportsman Magazine.
Terrific.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Take care.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And for the rest of you on hold, I apologize, but
Tom,
that's it.
1 pound leeway.
Yeah. Why
not? I mean,
he had no
clue.
And
you didn't like my question because it was about guns.
Okay. Okay.
People want to be challenged in this world.
Stay on the line,
people
folks.
People like to think. When I hear contests and I'm driving down the road, I'm like, especially sports trivia.
We're good.
I'm like, who did win the Heisman in 1970?
I'm trying to talk to the listeners. Stay on hold. Because Bushy's going to ask a question, all right? Okay, here comes Nick's coming back. You ask your question, okay?
Okay.
Are you going to give a leeway?
Nope.
No leeway.
They should know this.
All right, we'll see. 799-1250.
All right, Steve in Milwaukee on line one. We're coming to him.
Okay, Steve, you can win a one-year gift certificate to Badger Sportsman Magazine. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Steve, here's Bushy's question.
Okay, here we go. In OT6, average feet per second velocity of a 180 grain standard load, what is it?
Are you going to laugh?
Yeah, I'm going to laugh.
And he's giving you no leeway.
No leeway.
Nope.
See, I'm a nice guy. I give a little leeway.
Yeah, but I'm a fisherman. I'm not a big hunter, so.
Take a shot. What the
Velocity of a 180 grain bullet?
Of a 30-06 standard load.
Of an 06. 1250.
I'm sorry.
Way short.
No.
All right. Thanks for playing.
No, that's fine.
Appreciate it. Bye.
Okay. Have a good day.
Yep, now, you too.
Now, do you have another load that we can ask another
question?
Sure
do, buddy.
Okay, take another caller.
Good morning. You're on Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Who is this?
Tim.
Hi, Jim. Good morning. Okay, Bush is going to give you another load.
All right. What is the, for a, the basic 22 long rifle, doesn't matter hollow point or not, 40 grain bullet. You, I'll give you a leeway within 100 on this one because different loads have different. What is the average feet per second?
Yeah, these are easy, Danny. They're easy.
We're getting a lot of
Jesus
today.
They're
laughing at them.
Get your calls in now. This will be the first and last time we do this
Jesus.
Segment,
well, no, Jesus is tomorrow when you go to church. All right. It's, thanks for trying.
Yo, did you want to take a shot?
Well, I'll 14 and a quarter.
Oh, sorry. You were going to give a leeway of 100?
It's not.
That's not, no.
It's more like right around 1,200 to maybe 1,300.
Sorry
tops.
About
close,
that.
Close, but no cigar.
Thank you for calling. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for trying.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the 3006, the 180 grain, 2,700 feet per second.
Well, yeah, everybody knows
2,700
that, right,
feet per second.
Everybody knows
everybody
that.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
All right, Danny, we got another victim on the line for you. Good morning.
You
you're
got
on Cutting
Edge
Outdoors.
I got another one.
Okay, who's this?
Jeff.
Hey, Jeff. Good morning.
Okay.
Bushy's got another one for you.
All right.
Sure.
Here we go. So I'm going to give you a little, we'll give you a little bit of leeway on this one of within 200 feet per second. Average speed of a 170 grain 30-30 feet per second velocity.
170 grain 30-30. I'm going to say right around 2,700.
Too high by about 500 there. Sorry about that.
Thanks for listening.
My God.
We do appreciate it. All right, that's enough of that.
That's enough.
Nobody's answering those questions.
We need more gun nuts out there listening to us. Where's Al Shook when you need him?
The only one I knew.
My buddy Jeff Schmelzer, he'd know this.
The only one I knew of the bunch was the 22.
Did you?
Yeah,
typically they're about 1250, right?
Yeah, right around 1200,
right around
1250.
That. Yeah.
There are some cheap ones you can get that are 1,000. Those are the cheap
ones.
Now,
they do have some jacked up loads now
that are 14.
That are 14, even 15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got some.
Although typically that's lower in grain.
Yeah. The CCI.
Winchester does make a 40 grain that supposedly is a hyper velocity at over 1,400 feet per second.
Yeah. And if you're on hold now, folks, you can hang up.
Sorry about that.
Unless you want to call
in. Except for John, still need his information.
Oh, yeah, John,
hold on.
John
on the northwest side, you and I will hang out and talk.
Yeah, and
we've had the poor guy online this time.
Yeah, Nick's going
to
get
your
info.
Why tell me to shut up?
Nick's going to get your info, John, and we'll be right back with more. Promise you we won't have any of those hard questions, maybe. Maybe. We might do that again someday,
People like to challenge themselves.
That's
Thomas.
Right.
It's all about challenging life.
All right. 799-1250 is the phone number if you want to talk about something else. We'll be right back.
What is the quadratic equation? Welcome back. Dying
you
over
okay?
here.
Oh, you okay over there?
Yeah, the old coffee went down the wrong pipe. Skipper Buds. Cutting Edge Outdoors. A little Joe Walsh theme going back there, huh, Nick?
Oh, yeah. Love me some Joe Walsh, the Eagles. I was the one who played Already Gone before. I actually saw them in concert in Pittsburgh when Glenn Frey was still alive and with the band a couple years ago.
You know the song that was going through my head this week? And I don't know. It's weird how a certain song will just go through your head.
Mm-hmm.
The one... My Maserati does 185.
Oh, yeah,
I lost my license.
Now I can't drive.
That was Joe Walsh, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
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 Oh, yeah.
That's a classic. That's a classic line right there.
Hey, here's a little trivia question for you. I'll give you two choices here.
And we are not giving away a Fisherman
and
magazine.
And we're not giving away.
Answering the phones
what,
back.
What is the number one selling album of all time? Do you think it's Michael Jackson's Thriller or the Eagles' collection of greatest hits?
I would say it's the Eagles' greatest hits.
You're right. That's the number one selling album of all
time.
That
was one classic album.
And that's their greatest hits.
They had
a lot of hits.
They had were a great group.
You got to keep in mind that album that went, the one that went like double platinum, that was just their greatest hits through 75. So that doesn't have a lot of the later stuff. That's got no Joe Walsh music on it. Really doesn't have like Life in the Fast Lane, Hotel California, you know, any of the Timothy B. Schmidt stuff.
I think it's amazing.
I think Joe Walsh joined them later when they regrouped and came back together.
Yes.
But they told him he'd have to quit drinking. And so he
then he couldn't play the guitar anymore.
He went to rehab. I believe he went to rehab, came back, and he's never drank since.
You know,
but it was worth it for him to salvage his career.
Yeah,
and
that's awesome.
Yeah,
I think when I drink, I play my guitar better when I drink.
Oh yeah, you think
when
so?
I drink.
just like I used to think I threw bar darts better. Actually, one time I did. I got a hat trick.
Did you really?
Yeah. I might as well been standing on one foot. I got three.
Three bullseyes.
Three bullseyes.
Wow.
Yeah. My girlfriend Ann had to tell me I'd done it. I couldn't even see the board. Honey, you just got a hat trick.
My one son, he did a Robin Hood with a bow and arrow where he had one in the bullseye and the next arrow split that arrow that was in the bullseye. It hit it in the nock. Perfectly, and went right down the shaft of the first arrow. Total luck, of course. He's the one who shot the deer in the head.
Amazing shots.
You ever see the guy?
Go ahead.
With the bow and arrow, he shoots aspirins.
No.
Well, a guy about 30 feet away would throw an aspirin in the air, and he'd hit it with the damn bow and arrow. He'd hit it. It was unreal.
My brother, let's talk amazing shots. My brother one time, in Missouri, he was walking through a field going from one squirrel woods to another, and he knew these ducks would be on his pond. So he had a Marlin 39A lever action 22, and he folded the back buckhorn sight down, and he planned to do this. And he was just going to use it like a shotgun where he's going to swing with and look at the front sight and swing. He actually shot a duck out of midair with it.
With a 22.
22. Put the bullet right through its chest. Now, that's probably illegal and not advised. Children, don't try this at home, but so what? Who cares?
I hit my amazing shot of my life, and I have two brothers that saw it. They can back me up on this. I shot a rabbit at full run with a 22 revolver. A rabbit at full run. I mean, right. Totally by accident. I think I might have fired three shots before I finally hit him, but three or four or five, whatever. But I did hit it on a full run, you know, which is totally lucky.
Yeah, I grazed one once with my 22 with my old Winchester bolt action 69A open sights. I darn near got one. I was on him pretty good, and I shot, and I just found a little bit of blood. I must have just grazed him. My friend Randy Ledvina, he was on our show. He's got Butler Creek Ranch or Rock Ranch up there. He was on years ago with me, you, and John, I think in the old studio. He told me a story. He grew up in Kewaunee County there, and he said he actually, with an old recurve bow years ago on his farm, dad's farm, there was a deer running. And, of course, this is probably not something we obviously would do now, but he was a young kid. And he shot the arrow with the recurve up into the air, you know, just to launch it.
Yeah.
It came straight down on the thing's head and killed it.
No kidding.
Yeah. Running through a field.
That's pretty lucky.
That's lucky.
It's like getting hit by lightning.
Now, again,
odds,
those would be considered unethical shots today. We at the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors, no way indoors, shooting at flying ducks with 22s or launching arrows at running deer. But gosh darn it, that's fun to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
So you hit the running rabbit with the revolver.
That was. My brothers still couldn't believe it. I think they both probably forgot it by now. It was a long time ago. But anyway.
My best shot with a pistol years ago, I was out squirrel hunting with my 22 Ruger Mark II. First new firearm I ever purchased was 1982. It was a Mark II target, tapered barrel, 22, and my proudest moment was, you know, getting a limit of squirrels with that thing, five squirrels. But one of my best shots was I was out, and I heard the crows across the field. And as you know, I'm an expert crow caller. Mm-hmm. And so I started calling, and sure enough, one came in, and one flew in. I could hear it coming, and it landed way in the top of a tree. And it was still early season squirrel hunting, so the foliage, it was nothing but green branches, this and that, leaves, I mean, thick stuff. So I kneeled down, and way at the top of an oak tree, I could see this little black, you know, form up there, feathers. I could just see a part. So I kneeled down, and I took the 22, and I got the open sights, and I leveled it. I thought, this is a hopeless poke. And I shot, and all of a sudden, the thing quit crowing. And I just saw it toppling from the top of the trees.
Tumbled right down.
So what I did was I went to the barrel, brought it to my lips, and went. That was my best shot.
Of course you did. Of course.
Yeah.
You know, during the break, folks, we were saying spring can't get here soon enough, you know. I think everybody's chomping at the bit to get out on those open waters of the rivers. First for the walleyes, you know. And of course, you know, on the rivers, a lot of things are open, but especially guys go for the walleyes, you know, and, yeah, we're waiting. What do you got there?
Got our old Boulder Junction connection.
Oh, excellent. Hey, good morning, Dennis.
Good morning, guys. How the heck are you?
All right. This is our Boulder Junction connection from God's country, Dennis Royce. So what's new up there, Dennis?
Well, we have a lot of snow. I'll give you a fishing report after I give you a snow report.
Yeah, but you got that big thing coming through, right?
Yes, and we have right now our snowpack on the ground, I'm going to say from Highway 8 North, is a minimum of 24 inches to as much as 30 to some places 40 inches. It depends on where you're at. That's a lot of snow right now, and we had minimal snow at Christmas time, and now we've got way too much, and now there's a storm coming today. They're taking 12 to 14 inches of snow, as predicted. So it's getting awfully difficult to get around.
Yeah.
And the lakes, the guys are getting fish, but it's so hard to get out there now. A track machine is the only way to get around. And, of course, there's a lot of slush on the lakes because of the weight. There's plenty of ice, but you've got the amount of the snow and the slush to fight with, and it's not easy. But the fish are going. They are getting fish, panfish mainly. We got open fishing for one more week for game fish, and then that closes. But normally this time of year, pan fishing gets to be a big item, and crappies, bluegills, and perch, and it's going to be tough to get them because there's a lot of snow on the lake, and we're shoveling roofs right now, and that's what we're doing. Our main business is shoveling roofs off.
It's shoveling roofs, yeah.
Yep,
well, you know, I'll tell you what, though, you know, when the warm weather does start to come with all that snow on the lakes, it's going to be awfully wet out there.
Yes, it is. You know, that's going to help some of the lakes, but our water table is back up to where it should be, and especially in Vilas County area here. But the snow, is our lakes are going to, we need the water, but there's going to be a lot of water this year. There's a lot on the ground right now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing how much snow we got in the last 10 days.
Yeah.
We got two snowfalls of almost a foot of snow.
Wow. I bet you the snowmobile trails are nice.
The snowmobile trails are absolutely excellent right now. We are nothing but positive reports on all of them. And as far south as, I'm going to say south of 8 yet, down the Tomahawk, excellent snowmobile riding, and everybody's enjoying that. And it's been this last weekend with the 3-day holiday, there was a lot of people up here, and there's good riding yet for some time. And like I say, you have to stay in the trail zone now because it's getting thick, and you get stuck, and then you got a big job getting unstuck.
Yeah, right. Wow.
But well, a lot of things going on. It's still nice to be up here.
Fishing. What do we got with the? You mentioned fishing report.
Oh, he did. He gave
did
it.
Ya?
Yeah, he gave it.
And the crappies.
No, he said he was going to do the snowmobile first.
He did.
Did he?
Mostly panfish.
Mostly okay. Panfish. Right. Tough to get out there.
Okay. How about the walleyes?
The walleye action is tough right now. It's the end of the season. But the panfishing is good, especially crappie fishing. But I noticed the other night that you have to pay attention. You're using a fishing 8 feet of water. You got to pay attention because It's not an aggressive bite. It's a real light bite. And if you're not paying attention, you're going to miss them. But they are going, so.
What do you think? How do you think this is going to affect your open water opening weekend? Because I know it, you can have ice, you can have no ice. Any guess?
That would just be a guess. Right now, I'm hoping, that, like Tom was saying earlier about getting lakes open, rivers open up soon. I'm anxious to see blue water. I like fishing in open water, but there's a long way from that. There is a lot of ice on the lake, and, of course, with all the snow cover now, it's going to be a while before that, you know, that starts breaking down. But Mother Nature, you don't ever know in Mother Nature. We can get a week of 60 or 50-degree weather, not 60, but 50-degree weather, and it can put a big dent in the snow and the ice real quick. So
yeah, gotcha.
I'm hoping that we got open water for ice fishing this year. Very seldom. But there's a few years when it's been extremely cold where we get opening delayed because of the ice. But it's been pretty good the last few years.
Yeah. Well, stay warm, Dennis.
I'll bring you some pictures when I come down to the sports show, and I'll show you where we're at with snow. We actually got pictures like it used to be years ago where you got tunnels going into your house. We're starting to get tunnels into our houses.
All right, Dennis.
Hey, you guys, have a good weekend.
You too, Dennis. Thanks. Bye now. Thanks. And with that, we here at the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors got to take a break. So stay tuned for more on 105.7 FM, The Fan, and 12:50 a.m. We'll be right back.
Starts out standing in the rain.
Oh.
Didn't have a boat, just an old broken oar. Heard the roar of the ranger. He could picture the scene. He's a Lake Link hero. Gets lots of walleyes.
Not bad. Like that?
I like it.
Lake Link hero.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get my old buddy Dennis Radloff, who has a band, Magnum Four, I think is what he called it.
That's an awesome name.
Yeah, it's a cool name, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, yeah. And see if we can, I'll finish with these lyrics. We get this baby recorded. We're going to the top, man.
There you go.
Going to head on. Yeah, that's the big plan. So you're doing a fine job back there.
I appreciate it.
So I was going to, you've hunted and fished before, right?
Oh, yeah. Grew up deer hunting, pheasant hunting, trap shooting, all that stuff.
Okay. So, like, were my feet per second questions, like, I was going to ask Dennis, the Boulder Junction connection, if he knew any of those velocity questions.
So I wouldn't know them with rifle rounds. I mean, when we did trap, we always shot field loads. So those are like 1,200 per second. And, you know,
you're right. 1,300.
I grew up enough around like pellet guns. I would have been able to tell you like it's, you know, probably 2,000 for a rifle bullet because it's, I think, like 780 for your most powerful pellet gun and stuff. So
actually, most powerful pellet gun that I've ever seen is 1,650.
You saw 1,650?
Yep. 1,650 feet per second.
The technology on the old pellet rifle has improved. Years ago as a kid, there were standbys. There was the old Red Ryder style BB gun where you could shoot and you could actually watch your BB curve. Remember that?
Yep.
Yeah. It was kind of cool. You could see it curve right into the Tweety Bird.
Yep.
Or his target. And then then if you moved up a step from there, you got the old Crossman 10 pump one.
Yep.
And then if you really went like Magnum type category, you got a Benjamin, or they called him Sheridan. I think the company merged, and they had the Silver Streak. They shot that,
1,200.
I want to say the caliber, though. It was a 177 caliber for your typical Crossman, but then I think they had a special...
They had a
20.15.
No, they had a 22 caliber for Benjamin. They still do. A 22 caliber.
I thought it was 20.
No, there's a 20 and a 22, actually. There's two of them. But those shoot about 1,000 feet per second.
See, now they've got the most standard break action barrel rifles are around 1,000 to 1,200 feet per second for 177,
yeah.
And if you get that same model with the 22 caliber, it'll take a couple hundred feet per second off of it.
Yeah, most of them that we have at Sherpa's are 1,200 feet per second, the crack ones, the barrel.
Spring barrel. And they used to call those the European-style break-action barrel. My buddy Joe DeLuca bought one in college, our senior year, to try and – we were shooting rabbits on a campus back then. That's a whole nother story. Campus security was trying to run us down. We'd be, it was crazy. But Anyway, those back then were only around 700 feet per second, but that was considered smoking back then.
Yeah, right now that the brand that you pump up 10 times, you know, we have those too, and those are like 650 feet per second, which is enough to kill a squirrel.
Well, yeah,
or
we used to bust rabbits with it. But, squirrel, you'd have to hit them in the head. Squirrels are too tough.
They are tough, and the 1,200 feet per second with the scopes, those are actually pretty accurate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
They're pretty nice.
We had one of the old Red Rider lever-action BB guns. So it wouldn't exactly break the skin on the squirrels if they were standing up on the fence eating birdseed. You just kind of pop them, and you'd see that back leg would twitch and kind of scurry, and they just sort of fall over. So there's one that we called Lead Pants because we were pretty sure that he had at least three or four of these BBs. He was like an old gunfighter. He just didn't care.
We've got a fully automatic BB gun.
Oh my God.
At the store.
That legal?
Fully. Well, for BB guns, I guess it is, but it's pop, 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 pop.
Yeah. Can I get the address?
So
right over there, Sherpers.
So if you got some squirrels terrorizing your bird feeder, you kick the back garage door open, walk out and say hello to my little friend.
And that's what it is.
It's pop, 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 pop.
It looks like an AR, and it's got the folding stock, extending stock, and all that. Yeah, it looks like a little AR, and it comes with a little canister of, you know, put a bunch of BBs in there.
How much does this run for?
They're not that expensive. I you know what? I don't know for sure if it's $79, $99, I don't know.
I know where my paycheck's going this week.
There we go. Hey, get your tax return back.
There you go.
That's right. Everybody, hopefully put in for theirs already and going to be getting money back.
The old government shutdown is over, and
You know, it's funny about those government shutdowns. Whenever they do that over the years, it's like they say it's all non-essential personnel.
Well, that would be of them.
Well, then, if it's not essential personnel, I mean, why do we have them in the first place if they're not essential? I mean, I don't understand that. So, anyway, that's not a big deal.
Not a big deal.
No, it's not. Anyway, so now is the time to actually start getting the walleye stuff ready, because pretty soon those rivers are going to start opening. And, in our area here, of course, we got the Wisconsin River. We got the Fox River. We got the up by Green Bay. You got the Fox up there, the Rock River right over here. So there's a lot of rivers that'll be opening, and those walleyes will just be chomping at the bit. So, looking forward to that. But the one thing I'm not looking forward to are the hordes of boats on the rivers, because you always get that every year. So
yeah,
and then it always comes. The big question is what color to use. You know, what color jig? Well, if you're fishing a deeper hole, I don't think it really matters what color it is. Those rivers are dark, and you're down 15, 20 feet. I don't think it matters what color it is. Although, talking to a lot of walleye pros, greens are good, blues are good, chartreuse is good, orange is good. So, as a matter of fact, for a while, one of the hottest colors going was like a pink purple, half and half, pink and purple. That was supposed to be the hot one for a while, or pink and blue too. So, who knows?
Well,
who knows? Whatever they're biting, that's the hot one.
You know what? I think the river fishing though, Tom, is kind of overrated. I think it's a lot of cold and a lot of boats, but I think people are so gosh darn stir crazy they can't wait to get out.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, up on the Fox River up there by Green Bay, it's a lot of fish, too.
Yeah, and there have been guys fishing ice. There's been guys ice fishing throughout this winter season.
Oh, yeah, they fish up there through the ice.
But they haven't been doing too good this winter. Every DNR report I see says a lot of guys out, not a whole lot of catching.
Not that great, yeah. Well, just wait. There'll be a lot of walleyes in there. And actually, this is your time if you wanted to get one of those mounting walleyes, one of those 12, 13, 14 pounder, or anything over 10, let's say. They're up there.
One of the best spring opportunities coming up now in March, April, is get out on Lake Michigan and do the harbor brown trout fishing.
Oh, yeah.
That's
going to
be great.
Hot.
And the Lakers, too.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
I've got some nice Lakers out there just out right here by the break, just outside the break wall here out of
you could probably
Milwaukee.
Catch Yeah, catch a lot of brown trout right from shore.
Oh, well, yeah.
You know, right under the Hone Bridge.
Our buddy Jim Dembeck catches them all winter.
Yeah. So, anyway, Danny, had a good time this morning.
Yep.
Looking forward to another wonderful week with more snow coming.
Pray for no rain today so I can go pheasant hunting.
Yeah, well, good luck.
All right. That's all I got.
To all the listeners, thanks for listening. And God bless and stay free, everyone.
You've been listening to Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Hey, thanks to the police out there, first responders, and service personnel. We're behind you 110%. We'll talk to you all next week.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.